It's okay. Like I said so many times, that I don't shorten the message, so it's okay. And I'm sure you guys all know that when a pastor does this, it means nothing. So just understand that. It's okay. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be starting at verse 14. The title is Walk Humbly Before the Lord. This has been, for me, a fun book to do. Each book in the Old or in the New Testament, and any of the scriptures, they have different directions and what they're leading. Like when we went through the book of Romans, almost all church doctrine is in Romans, and you go through the gospel accounts. Well, this one here is 1 Corinthians, is to the church was going through many, many, many struggles, a lot of different struggles. And Paul's writing to this church, this letter, and we're going to see many more struggles that the church is going through as we continue to go through this. And that he needs to address the church and how to handle this kind of stuff. The main problem was division happening in the church. Some were wanting to divide the church. And this happens from time to time. It can happen in a lot of churches, and it has happened, and it will probably continue to happen. And I think about the main reason is, are our eyes focused on Jesus, and are we others-centered? You know, Christ's whole mission was to come for us, others-centered. And I think if we take that off, then all sorts of things can start to happen. One aspect that all believers should be is spiritually humble. Truly, truly, spiritually humble. To help the church, Paul sent Timothy, and that he himself would soon come. We're going to see how Paul takes role here of a spiritual father. So as we do, let's open up and read here, starting verse 14. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child of the Lord, to remind you of the ways of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I am not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in spirit of gentleness? We've seen in the first four chapters of this letter that people may say, gosh, Paul, you're being a little bit harsh on the church. Sometimes that has to happen. Sometimes it does. And Paul's not wanting to shame the people here at this church, but he does want to warn them. He truly wants to warn them. Some were wanting to split the church. And Paul warns them of the seriousness of their actions and of their pride. And that's what can happen when church splits happen. And they have happened. And it's interesting how Paul writes this warning. It's not to shame the guilty ones, but more to warn them. Hey, this is going on, and we need to take care of this. And that's right. The title is Walk Humbly Before the Lord. It's a reminder to us to walk very, very humbly. And Paul admonishes us when he said, my beloved children. He's taken that role of a father. Hey, and all of us who have children know that you have to direct them in a right way, and the kids may not understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and you're just being mean and all that other kind of stuff. But later on, and all of us have been children, we find out, yeah, hey, our parents were pretty sharp, by all means. And it's all right, God's on the line. But this is being done in the spirit of a father, and that's what Paul is doing here. He's really warning his sons of the consequences if they continue to do wrong. And think about with your own children or grandchildren, you warn them of consequences that are going to happen if you continue to go down a wrong road. But it's literally still at a point up to the individuals what road they're going to take. As a father, he's stern. And he means exactly what he's saying. He loves his sons, and his warning is to keep them from wrecking their lives. And you know, as dads, there's times we have to be stern. My dad was very stern. I loved him dearly. And sometimes you have to do that. Well, if we look at Paul here, he is an apostle. As ministers, there are times we need to warn the sheep in our pasture. And it's to be done in a loving, caring way. So, same thing. It's a warning, and we need to keep a watch on things. There are wolves out there right now trying to deceive people. And they're doing it in churches. They're doing it all over the place. I desire to keep this body firmly grounded in the Word of God. That is my goal. That's what God has called me to do, and that's what I'm going to do, is keep you grounded in God's holy Word. And I think that's important. In fact, actually, God even instructed in Ezekiel on this. Put it for me, please, Ezekiel 33. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of the watchman's hand. As minister, I'm the watchman here. I'm to watch over, and sometimes you have to take care of things that you don't want to do, but it's just one of those things that happens to happen. And put it for me, Hebrews 13 also. It talks about, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls, as those who will give have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So understand, ministers, we will be held accountable. And that's always a... It's a frightening thought for a minister that, and Paul is sharing this, that you're going to be held accountable as a minister. How you handle the body, how you do and get through things like that. And I think that's important because ultimately things that can happen in a church eventually end up leading to dividing a church. And that's not a good thing. Pride steps in big time, and I had to deal with years and years ago in this church with somebody trying to divide it. And I followed God right down to the T. He kept telling me, and it was hard. It was difficult. It was very difficult. But after it was done, God gave me the scripture. It said, you followed me to a T, which gave me some satisfaction, but it was like, I don't want to go through this again, Lord. I really don't. It's not good. And Paul here is doing as all ministers should. Sometimes you have to follow this. And even here, Paul says, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, it's interesting here. It says countless guides, or your scripture may say guardians. The actual Greek word, the meaning is of a slave guide. a slave guide. In the Roman Empire, in this particular point in time, there were slave guides or slave guardians who would escort and take care of the boys. They would take them to school. They were still a slave, but they were a guide on that. And they were in charge of the general conduct of those kids. They could be called instructors too. And so this is why you have countless and many and I was just at a thing with a bunch of pastors, and you realize even in the large churches, there's one pastor, and then there's a lot of associates, a lot of assistants, a lot of elders, deacons. I mean, so many guides, but there's really only one. And Paul's saying to him, or telling the church here, that, hey, he is their spiritual father. And that's very important. There are many teachers, there are many instructors in the churches, but there's still, no matter how you go through the church, there's one main minister, and he's to have the spirit of a wise father. And so this is a constant prayer. And Paul even, or not Paul, but it's in Jeremiah also. Put up Jeremiah 3 for me, please. And I will give you shepherds, God's saying, after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is why Scripture tells us, I'm to feed you the Word of God. That's God saying, I'm going to give you shepherds. This is what they're going to do. They're going to feed you with the knowledge and the understanding, give you more understanding, more knowledge of the Word of God. Because all of you are ministers of one way or another, and the fact that you're to go out and share that gospel message. You're to share it. And Paul says that, and he goes on, he says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. And I thought, man, I would have loved to have sat at Paul's feet. Jesus' feet? Yeah, most definitely. But Paul, I would have loved to have sat at his feet. But we have his word, his written word here that the Holy Spirit guided him. Because Paul's telling, hey, be like me. Be like me. Paul's life was a life of walking with God every day from the time he got saved. His heart overflowed with the love of Christ. And I think every shepherd wants that, to where it's constant, an overflowing of God's love. Here he's committed. Paul is totally committed, sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that you look at that, and I think about how he was, and I try to look at myself and see what I need to do to be better. And Paul had given everything he was and had to Jesus. It didn't matter what it was. Paul gave it all to the Lord. And as pastors, we struggle with so many of the different things, like where you see your own failures, your own faults. And you want so much more for your body and for them. And it's really interesting, as I had prepared this message before this last week. And then Dave and I went to a pastor's workshop, conference, whatever you want to call it. And it was really interesting because I have this here. First thing they did was your vital signs for a pastor. And you were to rate yourself. And it was interesting, the rating. You didn't have to do, it was just you and yourself and nothing else. I think every pastor failed. They had, well, if you scored this, you're doing great. If you scored this, you're doing okay. If you did this, you're in trouble. And I think every pastor looked at himself like, I think Dave and I, we were 1 or 2 points apart from each other out of 160. We didn't do too well, like everybody else in there. I think because when you look at yourself, you want so much better, because then it can be better on the flock. And you just want so much more for the flock. And it was something that hit you and hit you kind of hard. But Paul here, he's trying to express to the body, commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. commit your life. It's going to be, there's going to be good days and bad days, but you stay in. And I think of what Paul went through. My gosh, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. I don't know how many times, whipped, stoned. He died after being stoned. If you look that up in Acts, that's in there. Just, wow, came back to, and God brought him back. And he gave everything to the life of Christ. And I think if I could convey one thing is sell your life out for God, totally, for him. And by imitating Paul, think about how we could truly evangelize the world, how we could reach the world for Jesus Christ if we're sold out. If we're not sold out, we don't think about it. And think in your own life, are you reaching lost souls for Christ? I don't know. That's an individual. You can take the survey of yourself. Are you reaching lost souls for Christ? And I think that's where the humbleness comes in. You have to be really humble and realize that it's, when you start to grade yourself, you may not come out as sharp as a lot of the times we think we are. But we are to reach Christ, sold out to reach people for Christ. We have to be sold out for Christ. And Paul's wanting that from the Corinthians. He's wanting that so much. Put up for me Philippians 4:9 for me, please. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's writing that, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So we have Paul's writings, just as he's writing that in to the church in Philippi, we have Paul's writings. And this is Paul saying, hey, you've received it. You've learned the word of God. You've heard it. You've seen it. I put it up here. And then God gives us a great promise that if you do this, the God of peace will be with you in every endeavor. What an encouragement from God right there. That you're going to have God with you, whatever you're doing. And that's an amazing promise for us. And I think that's what Paul is trying to tell the church here. He's saying, hey, sell out for Christ. Sell out. I know there's so many wonderful, great things in the world, but sell out for Christ. And that is so blessed. It says God will be with you. And I think this is extremely important for the church at Corinth and for the church in America right now and the church worldwide, of course. And in fact, it was so much on Paul's heart. He says, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere and in every church. And I think about that. Paul's letters are being taught in all churches. There's 13 letters are in the New Testament. So this has happened. And he sent Timothy to them to ensure that. See, he's providing growth for the people. And there's nothing that's more pleasing to a minister like Paul or any is to see growth in the people. And that's really neat. Is you seeing them growing closer to the Lord, serving the Lord. Paul here, we need to understand, Paul's on a missionary trip and he's writing this letter. And that's where he says, hey, Timothy, you got to go there. You got to go there. You got to help them. They're in a struggle and I need you. You're my faithful servant, Timothy. You go there and help them out. And Timothy's going to be there to remind them of Paul's ways and Paul's teaching so that they can grow, continue to grow and start to walk. Paul was responsible for this church. He planted this church. And he's responsible for the welfare of that church also. And it's such a blessing. At that conference we went to as a church in Thousand Oaks. And it was really good to see the one pastor who was part of my ordination years ago. And he's I won't. He's post-40 like the rest of us. I won't say he's old. But it was really good to see him. He had planted that church. And he stepped back about 6, 7, 8 years ago. And there's another younger pastor in there taking it. And he's just doing other things. But to see him back there still, and I could see, he's almost like, well, I'm still responsible. Hey, I planted this church, and I still keep an eye on things to make sure everything's going good. And I was like, that's really cool. That's really neat, Lord. So Paul's on a mission, and he can't get there. So, hey, Timothy gets on the old cell phone, and I need you to go there. I need you to get there. And Timothy was one of his most valuable assistants, like his right-hand man. He calls Timothy a young pastor, and Timothy was about 37, 38 years old. So I don't know. If that's young, we're all pretty young still. We're doing good, folks. And Timothy was to stay at that particular church, the Corinthian church, until the division problem was taken care of. And the church was back walking strong with the Lord. And that was what needed to happen. And I think about this, that Paul called Timothy his faithful assistant. Faithful. He could count on him. All believers, we're to walk faithfully. We truly are. And be a humble follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is important. We don't all have the, none of us know everything that we're supposed to know. We have to trust in God. But we have to be faithful to do what God calls us to do and to go and do what he tells us to do. And Paul's away. So while he's away, and who knows if he'll get back, he had his faithful assistant with to take care of this. And I like it how Paul calls Timothy his faithful and beloved son. It's not his physical blood son, which, yeah, spiritual-wise, that can be closer. Because that's highly important, very important. And I think about Timothy, and as you read through the scriptures and everything, Timothy was really faithful in prayer. Studying the word, witnessing, and in his service and his ministry, he's faithful. Which you look at all those, that should be all of us. Faithful in prayer, faithful in studying the word, faithful in the ministry that God has called us. Every one of us need to be that. And it was real interesting, this, little vital signs for us. It could be given to almost any person, you know, how's your walk? And so sometimes you need to ask God, how's my walk? Where's areas I need to improve? Where's areas that are doing well, but Lord, let's make it better. And I think that's important for us to check, because we don't want to go through what's going on with the church at Corinth right now at this time and period. And in the last few verses, and we look here, Paul does go into and he says, some are arrogant as though I'm not coming to you. Some are arrogant as though I'm not coming to you. So he's talking about his upcoming trip that he's going to try to get to Corinth. And he's going to address those who are being arrogant in the church. When you look up the Greek wording and all this in there, the arrogant in the church are false teachers. Is what's happening. And we see Paul's heart. His desire is to come to the church. Hey, I need to get there. I need to get there. And there's times where I'll say, Lord, I need to go here, do this, or whatever that case is. But we must understand it's God's perfect timing and it's God's will. These particular false teachers were undermining Paul's authority. Excuse me. And so he's going to send his faithful assistant because he can't get there right now. And he's saying, I need you to go take care of this problem. We got a problem going on in the church there. And but Paul is going to come. But notice how it says, if the Lord wills. And that's something we all got to watch. There's times I said, I'm going to go and do this or this or this or whatever the case. But I got to remember, if it's God's will for us to do that. Is it God's will for whatever that situation is? And you need to understand that and hear that. It's not our will. We're his servants. So it's not the servant telling the boss. And I've said this before. How many times have we said, and I've said this, Lord, I'm going to do this. Now bless it. Instead of, Lord, do you want me to do that? Tell me, one way or another, Lord, do you want me to go do whatever the case may be? Because wherever God's will is, that's God's blessing. And that's what's important. And that will, you may look at and go, well, I did what you said, Lord, but it sure didn't work out. Well, we don't know. We don't know till down the line. It's like the parent that tells the kid, hey, don't do this because... And kids will go, well, why? Why? Just trust me. Don't do this. And you don't realize it. And all of us now look back at our parents telling us don't do things. And you didn't. And then you look back and go, oh, I get it now. I understand. I got it. There was a reason for it. And you're looking out after me. And I think that's important. Paul's the Lord's servant as all of us. So it's not our will, it's the Lord's will. And if we have to go through something and we may not see the rosy Christian picture of that, that's okay. That's really okay. Because it's, I've always said this, and sometimes I have to go back and say, Lord, I didn't really mean it too much. But yeah, I do. I want to go through whatever I have to go through to get closer to the Lord. When you say something like that, you're opening yourself up to anything. If it'll draw me closer to the Lord. Going through it, you may say, this ain't worth it, or whatever the case, but it's understand that it's the Lord's will that we're to seek. And I do believe here that Paul could be praying and asking God, hey, I need to go to Corinth, Lord. We open up paths and avenues. And you think about that. The door may open. That opening door may be a test also. It could be a opening from somebody else. Because it's unless you hear on something. And I'll tell people, you have to hear on the Lord on doing something. Whatever that is. I'm going to move. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Did you hear from the Lord? What did the Lord tell you? Whatever that is, what did God tell you to do? And I think about when I came on as an elder in a church, and I can still remember the pastor saying, hey, Greg, you know, the church wants you as an elder. I said, oh, wow. He says, so I want to put you on. I said, nah. I said, I got to hear from God. And he went, oh, okay. Okay, so the next week comes up and he goes, all right, you ready? Come on. I said, no, haven't heard from God yet. Oh, okay. Took over a month to finally God said, okay, I want you to do this. And I went and told him. And it was almost when I told him, it was almost like a confirmation with him that he didn't want somebody just coming on. He wanted somebody that was going to listen to God. And make decisions on what God tells them and not because you have to. You have to. So here we have Paul praying wanting to go to Corinth. But he's also, Paul is going to deal with the ones stirring up the trouble. And he's going to discipline as he needs. I will do almost anything and avoid confrontation. And sometimes you can't. You have to go for it. I don't like confrontation at all, but sometimes you do. The false statements that were being made about Paul and these false teachers were by these false teachers. And so when Paul does come to the church here, these arrogant ones, these false teachers, I think they're going to find out he's not interested in their accusations so much as in their power of God. Look how the wording is written. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. But their power. People can say a lot of things. In other words, can they back up what they're saying and prove it? Can they back it up? It's the power of God. Because Paul is going to expose them for what they are, false teachers. And talk is cheap. But with God, it's in the power of God that Paul is directing. Paul didn't write the scriptures in these letters on his own. Not one word was written by himself. I guarantee you that. It was the Holy Spirit instructing him word by word exactly what Paul was to say in these scriptures. I can guarantee you that. I did not prepare this message this last week, prepared it earlier. And I wanted to show you, this is the vital signs. And during the conference, I'm sitting there and here's some notes that I had written. And all of a sudden, I go, God, what are you telling me here? What are you telling me as I'm listening to the man? I don't recall this, but I picked up a pen and I wrote. I wrote three sentences here. I got done. I go, what did I write? God was telling me something very important. And I wrote exactly word for word what he had told me. And it took me a while to grasp onto what God had done. See, it wasn't me thinking up what was going on. God was telling me, write this down right now. And it was for me. And I've looked at that. Now I've written that those words on a bookmark that I use for my own personal devotions. Because it was something really special that I needed to hear desperately that day. Excuse me. But Paul is going to get and deal with the false teachers here. He truly is. Because the kingdom of God is in power. The power of God, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. And we have to understand the rule and reign of God within a life does not exist within a man just because he says it does. It happens because of the power of God. It's like spiritual gifts, as we'll get into that. I can't say, oh, I'm going to have the spiritual gift of whatever. Either God gives it or you don't have it. These people made false professions. Very much so. Their professions were made in word only, what they said. God's love and reign was not seen in their lives. And they were false. And they were causing divisions. And I saw that. And I've looked at that when I dealt with that years and years ago. God's love and reign was not in that individual's life. They weren't showing God's love. They weren't showing the peace that comes only from God. They weren't showing God's love and peace and the building up of God's church. The building up of God's church. Instead, they're dividing the church. That's wrong. That's wrong. Completely wrong. Actually, what they were doing was quite the opposite. They were causing divisions. making accusation. And they were very close to destroying the church, by all means. So last verse we're looking at, Paul comes and he asks him a question. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? What do you wish? He's telling the church, and it's a kind of a hypothetical question, but he's given two alternatives. Do you want me to come in punishment, or do you want me to come in love? Well, nobody wants somebody coming to you in punishment. It's way better to have somebody come to you in love. Problems can arise in the church, and they must be handled and solved promptly. They cannot, or things start to fester. And we know that. That's like a wound. If you don't take care of it, it starts to fester. And it allow anything that starts to fester, then it starts to grow. So it's got to be taken care of. And that's what Paul is doing here at this church. Because if that starts to happen in a church and anything starts to divide, guess what? The church isn't concentrated on the mission of God. And the mission of God is to reach the lost. Instead, they start to wonder about what's going on. What'd they say? What? Who did? Oh, this is wrong? No, no, no. Our mission is to reach the lost. And anything that takes us off that, there's a problem. There's a problem. Paul wants to come to the church in Corinth in gentleness. And I agree. And Paul did not run away from problems. He would pray, he would search the Word and the Spirit for answers. That should be all of us doing the same thing. You want to know? Search God in prayer, search His Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And that's whatever you want to do. I don't care. Where do you want to go to work? Where do you want to live? Who you're to be with? Who you're not to be? Whatever that case. You are to pray. You're to search the Scriptures, reading through. When I'm praying about something throughout the whole day, and that's a continuous prayer, I'll just think, oh, Lord, what do I do? 90% of the time, He gives me the answer the next morning as I'm reading the Word of God. I'll go, oh, got it. Let's go. And the Holy Spirit will confirm it. By this, he knew whatever's going to happen. When you think about this, he knew whatever's going to happen, it would be the will of God. Because the control of it is in God's will. So God's in control of however he handled the situation. How do I handle this? Okay, I'm praying. I'm seeking God. I'm asking the Holy Spirit and I'm seeking His Word. How do I handle this problem? And He would tell you exactly what you're to do. Now you're under the control of God. Perfect. You're in His perfect will. If they respond to God's will when Paul comes, God would bless them. Gentleness. If they reject God, God's going to judge them. So that's why we always need to pray and search the Word, and the Holy Spirit is what we're to do. Either way, God was going to take care of his minister, Paul, no matter what happened. The minister had done what God had called him to do. When I dealt with this individual 10 years ago or whenever it was, I can't even remember now, it wasn't till just a week or two after, and I'm going, Lord. And then he took me right to a scripture. It said, do this, 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 and this. And I went, oh, your word said to do that, and that's what you had me do. He confirmed, you did exactly what I told you to do. Got it, God, thanks. Then I had peace, total peace, because it was a terrible time. And the stuff I don't want to go through, I can't stand confrontation. But understand, if we're praying, if we're seeking God, and we're asking the Holy Spirit, we don't have to worry about it. We got it. Look at John 15:16 for me, please. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, understand, whatever you ask, you may have to wait a while to get it. In fact, there's times you pray and you ask questions of God and you don't get an answer. And you'll say, Lord, I need an answer. Well, you may have to pray more. And you keep praying. I've asked God questions, and I shared this with an individual. I've asked questions that it was 30 years later he told me. And I went, oh, well, that makes good sense, Lord. But it kept me searching him, seeking him, following what he told me to do. I was doing it, not sure, and going, oh, Lord, you know, this way looks awful good. Nope. We're going to see a lot of problems in this. In fact, we got the next chapter gets really tough. Gets hard. Next couple, actually, really. That this church is going through. And you can, if you start to look at that, you can see habits in churches starting to. And you, so it's a reminder for all of us. Keep focused. Keep praying. Keep searching the scriptures. Keep asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. And we're going to get through this really good. Because times are going to get tougher. The attacks are coming more. The attacks are coming harder and heavier. So stay in the Word. Stay in God. It's seeking Him. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time that we've had, Lord. And I just give you all glory and all honor, Lord. Lord, you know what's best. And I confess to you, Lord, sometimes I don't think I have a clue. But Lord, you're wonderful. And you want us to keep our eyes fixed on you and our hearts in your hands. And that we need to trust, Lord. So I praise you and I thank you for that, God. And I'm asking right now, Lord, that you would do that with everyone in here hearing this message. That our eyes stay focused on you. That our heart is in your hands, Lord. And we don't have to worry about a thing, Lord, because you're in control and it's your will. Whatever we got to do, we're going to grow closer to you. And boy, that's a lot of cool, Lord. That's really neat. And I just praise you, God, for that. So I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The worship team will come forward, and don't forget, we do have lunch right after service.